back. Welcome to Geek Together, the show where we geek together. Actually, I don't know the intro because Ryan always does the Geek Together intro. And every time I host it, we're not Geek Together. So impromptu, kind of a no direction.
We geek together so you don't have to.
Yes, we geek together so you don't have to. Ryan, I'm sorry. No. But Ryan can't be here to join us, but Luis had a cool idea on what to do, and Dustin has many cool ideas on how to do it, which is, you know, it's the holiday season. For various reasons, you're going to want to maybe give the geeky people in your life some presents, or maybe just yourself some presents. So we're here to just talk about the cooler ideas that we have for various people in the Pathfinder sphere. This is meant for Pathfinder, Starfinder players, general RPG geekery things, but more specifically, the kind of people that would listen to our show, or various shows on the network, not just this one, or the one that I'm on, the other one either, what they would like. So, before we get started, let's introduce my co-host. We have Luis Loza!
Hello! Hi, I work for Paizo normally, but right now I'm just a geek hanging out together with all of you.
Wonderful. We also have Dustin Knight.
Hi. Great. Pleased to be here. Love buying things for people and talking about buying things for people and being a geek.
But you also love improvising things for games.
That is very true. I love gaming accessories very, very much. Sometimes more than the actual games.
Ah. And after my own heart. So, more recently, if you all haven't seen it, Dustin did a really cool blog post the other day about how a really cool tracker for the exploration activities for Pathfinder 2. Go check that stuff out. Even if you're not a Pathfinder 2 player, something like that might give you some inspiration on how to make your travel a little less boring and a little easier to track. Also, Luis, what's the cool thing you've been working on lately that you can actually talk about?
For people who follow my blog and Patreon and stuff, you probably know that I put out a rabbit folk ancestry a few months back on the blog. That is basically like one or two steps away from being put onto an online store for people to buy. Wow. In PDF format with like, I don't know, I think it's, I added something like 10 new feats and like 2 new heritages and lots of cool artwork and stuff. So it's going to be an official product for the first time. I'm releasing my own third party product and I'm excited for it.
What did you name your third party company?
NovaCat Games.
NovaCat.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So our cat is named Nova. And I think I once asked Ron Lundeen, hey, fellow coworker and still practicing lawyer who has his own third party imprint. I asked him, what does it take to get my own LLC set up? And he's like, oh, okay, well, here's what you go through. Here's all the steps. You come up with a name. I don't know, something like, call it whatever you want, like NovaCat Games or NovaCat Studios or something. I'm like, ha, that's funny. And then later I'm like, no, actually I want that. That's what I want to do.
It's a nice name. I like it. It's a good one.
It is. Yeah, it's a good heritage too. I'm playing one of your rabbit folk in the Slytherin right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
how's that been going?
Jealous.
I love being able to move right when we roll initiative, since I'm playing a bastion, so I could run between the monsters in the party and be like, hit me, not them. Mm-hmm. And that works sometimes.
But we're as cool as the bunnies are. I'm actually a big fan of that series of articles. We're here to talk about things you could gift or geeky friends in your life. And unfortunately, we can't gift them the bunnies yet, can we?
No, but I could probably see about maybe like a fun little contest or something. Giving a bunny or two out for Christmas or the holidays.
And unlike the ones you find on the side of the road being sold out of milk cases, these are ethical.
Yeah.
All right. So what we're going to do is pretty simple. We're just going to go round robin style, name off a gift on our list, and then just chat about it and who you think it's appropriate for. Let us start us off with Luis.
Great. I get to go first. I focused a lot on things from the GM side of things, just because that's what I know best. And I also try to break things up into budget wise. So I'm going to start off at the very top of my list for, I have no budget whatsoever. What do I do? And I think one cool thing you could do if you are a player is your gift to your GM or to the rest of your group would be to offer to run like one session of a game so your GM can play, whether it's the game that you've already been playing or playing a different game, that's up to you. But, you know, hey, you've done so much for us, running games for us for who knows how long. Let's run something for you. You probably want to play. Here you go. This is my gift. This is my voucher for one free game.
Oh, it's coupons. I remember gift coupons.
Yeah.
Wow, I like that a lot. Wow, I can't believe I never thought of that. That's a great gift idea.
Be great, because there's all like, as a GM, there's always that one system I can never talk people into playing, and just an opportunity to just get to play it once. What system would that be for you, Luis?
Oh, I've managed to run it a few times, but for the longest time, I've been hankering to run a full campaign in the Chronicles of Darkness setting, the New World of Darkness stuff. Whether it's like the base game or something else like Vampire or Geist or something, I don't know. But I just want to run something, because something that is a more storytelling system, like the rule set there, is just interesting to me. I want something that isn't necessarily crunch all the time forever. I love you, Pathfinder, but let me just roll some dice and then we interpret things rather than referring to the exact table for that.
I could get my players to run me through one thing, Golden Sky, because I cannot convince my murder hobo loving people to play fox people trying to help out a small.
Oh, I was gonna say it looked like Spice and Wolf for a second there.
It's kind of basically your various like animal spirits near a small town, and you have to like find ways to solve the problems of the small town without them finding out that you're fox, or not fox spirit, it was various little animal fairies.
That sounds amazing. I really want to get that for myself now.
I want to play more, honestly. Like, as much as I love Pathfinder and I love my swords and my wizards and my paladins, I do want to get more games in that focus on things that aren't just always violent conflict or horrible scheming. I don't know, something about the last little bit has made me tired of violence and scheming. Also, we are filming this like we do every Wednesday live in front of a Twitch audience over at twitch.tv/nodirection. Those of you in Twitch will be monitoring the chat throughout the show and pulling out questions and comments. We would appreciate any questions, and especially right now, gift suggestions that you think somebody adjacent to Pathfinder and Starfinder nerdity would enjoy.
Dustin, how about you? What game would you have run for you or run for people?
Well, I bought Besom with the Kickstarter, the new edition. I don't know when the Kickstarter was, but I got it in the mail last month, and I still haven't even really been able to crack it open and read too much about it. I skimmed to some parts that I thought were problematic in the prior edition, and they did fix them. Problematic in terms of rules, mechanics, and they fixed them. It looks like, I mean, I haven't seen everything in the new rules yet, so I'm not sure. But it looks good, it looks promising, and I would love to play it with people, because sometimes, even though I am loving Alex Agunis's Teenage Wasteland and all the drama that comes in having problems with not having enough days to work in your restaurant and attend classes, it is fun sometimes just to like pilot giant robots and blow stuff up.
So, Dustin, now that we know what you play, get a special geeky someone.
Well, actually, since you brought up kind of a different pace of game, I kind of wanted to bring this up. I found this game. It's a bit older. It's called Ravens of Three Shishari, a game by Kuro. It's not very expensive, and I think it has a limited playthrough. But what interests me, aside from the very fascinating kind of story involved with it, it's a two-player card game that is made for two players, which I really appreciate these days, because if you're stuck in a position where you're mostly with just one other person, you'll find a lot of board games are really not too good when there's only two players, no matter how much they claim. It's for 2 to 4 players. It's really for 4 players. But in this one in particular, the pacing is, I mean, the story is this girl was in a coma, and you're playing a semi-psychic detective trying to unravel various vague clues as to what happened to her in their past, and how that led to her being in the state that she's in. And one player playing the girl in the coma can only communicate through cards to try to piece together this story very gradually.
It sounds like Mysterium.
as a raven eats her memories, i.e. starts depleting your cards, making it harder for you to communicate. And I don't know, I've never seen anyone talk about it before. It's from Osprey Games, which I've never heard of before I bought this. I think they're British. And the story kind of unravels, which is where there's kind of a sort of lack of replayability, I suppose, unless you want to write your own story. There's like sealed envelopes involved with that, but that makes it even more of a special event with someone you love playing games with. And then, of course, you could always give it to another friend when you're done playing it like that. And I just really recommend it. And I'll put a link in the chat.
Thank you. So my first suggestion, I'm going to piggyback off of Louise here and say that it's important that players support the GMs sometimes, especially new GMs, ones just stepping up to the plate for the first time or trying to get new groups together. Or, you know, you've all been in PFS games where, or in communities where, you know, the newbie getting started and then being so intimidated by some things that crazy people bring to the table. Getting your GM friend the pawn box is probably one of the best first off gifts you can give a game master that intends to use battle mats. And I'm assuming that the flip map, basic flip map, isn't a gift idea here, because some sort of battle mat is kind of something that every GM eventually gets immediately. But having a full array of critters, NPCs, and player characters, so the very first bestiary, the NPC codex one, and of course the newly released player character pawn sets, are all good choices to getting that first kickstart into having the appropriate monster on the table and not just an M.
Or pennies.
Or Starburst.
Starburst. Competing to kill the goblins fastest. Strawberry tastes best.
You always make the squishy a lemon, so nobody will attack it. Come on. Strategy. It's next level.
Go for it. All right. So we've talked about what do y'all think? Is the pawn box a good starter? Do you, any of y'all have any alternatives to that pawn box for getting a GM kickstarted into properly running their games, or at least running their games more easily?
I think depending on how new they are, the beginner box for Pathfinder or Starfinder is a great start, because it comes with a flip mat, which I think the Pathfinder one has like a dungeon on each side, so it's not a generic one like the first time around. But it does come with pawns, and it comes with some extra accessories there that can be of use, and it's kind of like the starter kit for that. Otherwise, the D&D 5e starter set, the second one that came out, not the original one with Mines of Phandelver, but I think the second one came out, is more like accessory minded as well, with like standees and stuff like that.
Used to make fun of the first one because of its riser of
big box,
very little content. But yeah, I hear that the new one's good. And how do you have any? I know like there's like a Rick and Morty one and a Stranger Things one. Do you know any insight into if either of those would be good gifts for getting started into gaming?
I couldn't tell you on that one, unfortunately. I only have the two generic ones.
Well, if you want to combine that with Louise's first gift, you could buy the beginner box for your GM and then offer to play Troubles Notari after the beginner box is finished, since they go in with another.
And beginner box is especially useful for as the gift intendee gets skews younger, because I remember my high school days and just scrounging up enough money to get a good set of dice. Well, dice were a lot harder to get back then, too. Was like a massive endeavor, and just like all the accessories in the beginner box would have been wonderful to have had when buying any given rule book involved like multiple weeks of mowing grass for people.
Did you have a first beginner box that you got into playing, Param?
Yeah, it was I was already into RPGs by this point, but the first time I played a beginner box, it was the first time I ever tried out D&D. I was already playing other RPGs. But it was, I don't even know what it was. It was right before second edition shut down. And it was involved a tower and knife throwing kobolds very, and it had to explain what a plus one dagger was, and I didn't understand why magic needed to be measured in bonuses, and what did this have to do with arithmetic, because I was playing Earth Dawn at the time before that, and like, I'm supposed to tell stories around the campfire about why my magic ice bag is awesome, and that's why it's magical, not because it has plus one. And now I revel in the D&D inspired playground.
And Luis, did you start with a beginner box or a module or?
Nope. Got into homebrew right away. I had a friend who was running his own campaign, and that's what I did for the longest time. I think my first encounter with anything close to that would have been like some quick start rules for other rule sets, but that was a few years into my Pathfinder career at that point.
Also, before Paizo's original beginner box, I don't know if there's been any others that are really worth like shouting out about, but beginner box products were kind of lame. Like, it was always like really bad stories, and like I remember my first 3E beginner box that I got was just like these very thin little wafers for tokens that just got lost immediately, and your orc would like fly 40 feet across a chasm if you just so much to sneeze in its general direction. And then they got a little bit better, and the third edition one with the large blue dragon was famously snatched up because of large blue dragon by people who did not need beginner boxes. But the Pathfinder one was the first one I've ever seen that they really did a lot of work on figuring out what makes a good way to teach games, and what and having all the accessories you really need to get started in playing these games, instead of just, here it is, the next step, you play this once, you were kind of satisfied, go buy more.
Yeah. I mean, I started back with Eye of the Wyvern in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons was my beginner box, and that was just a book. It didn't even have dice. It did say, like, how to convert a bunch of D6s into other dice, which was really bad. It's like, 3D6 plus 20 instead of a D20, you'll be great.
Did I ever tell you all how I played my first game that needed more than six-sided dice?
Go ahead.
I carved up an old Pepsi box and drew out little spinners, and I just held down our pencil on the arrow and gave them flicks to roll dice. Now you can get them at the Dollar Tree for $1.
Wonderful,
actually. That's absolutely wonderful that it's so easy to get. All right. Next gift. Luis!
Well, we're talking about pawns, so I'm going to hop ahead on my list is storage solutions for your pawns.
Oh, yeah, so, that's not easy.
There are, luckily, we are in the age of Etsy where people can 3D print stuff or like carve stuff out with very relative ease. So there are two that I guess I can point people to. There's one that is just an insert for your existing pawn box that makes like separations, and you can like slot in as long or as wide as you need them to. And then there's the one I went into, and that inset is about 40 bucks to start with. The one I went on is a bit steep. It's 100 bucks, but it's a big wooden briefcase effectively that has enough to hold, I believe, like 2 or 3 pawn boxes worth of pawns all together, and that's the one I've been using for my gaming for a long time. It has like the core bestiary, and then it had for the longest time bestiary 1, bestiary 2, and then like the NPC codex pawns, and now it's switching to the 2E equivalents.
That is
And there's lots of space for the ungodly amount of pawn bases that you get with each of the old pawn boxes.
You can
slot in a lot of stuff, so they're really neat. They don't like move around very much, so you don't have to worry about like your pawns flying everywhere. And just like helping out with that is pretty nice, and you can organize them however you like.
Super useful. And the pawn sets are the Pathfinder pawn sets are super useful no matter which fantasy flavored game. You know, for the Starfinder ones, but usually sci-fi settings are a bit more IP specific, and so Starfinder is wonderful in that you have all the support for it. Less generically sci-fi your monster if you're playing any. But
one warning fantasy for people who get the big pawn case is that it can get really heavy, so be careful walking around with that.
So really heavy Is that does like is it gonna break or are you gonna beam somebody's knee into 1,000 feet?
You're more concerned about accidentally bumping someone when you're like turning too fast or something.
Oh boy.
It's definitely a D10 and bludgeoning damage when you swing it.
My storage solution to pawns is a lot less elegant and a lot less pretty. I use those specifically page protectors, the heavy duty ones. You want the heavy duty page protectors. Mm-hmm. And then I just slide the full page frame and all into them, put them in 3-ring binders. So I slide the frame out, take the pawn out. When it's time to put the pawn away, put it back in its frame. It is less space efficient than that. It is so much less swag than that. That is definitely the better, I think. Oh boy, that price.
Oh boy.
All right, Dustin. Dustin, you got something for us?
As long as we brought up pawns, and to respond to some people in the chat, I do really love the bestiary battle cards. I think they're absolutely fantastic. It's much easier just bringing up a pile of cards with you to game night rather than the entire bestiary. Plus, me personally, I if I was to buy them for somebody as a gift, and I know they like using a GM screen, I would totally buy little sign standees on Amazon, and BCW sells these big sleeves you could get, and then I just clip them like this and put them on my GM screen, so then I have my stats right in front of me and they get artwork, so they'll actually see what they're fighting against rather than me having to have the exact right token or pawn or what have you.
That is a hefty sleeve.
Yes. They're a little too big for the they're a little too big for the tarot card size sleeves. So there is some extra space in there, but the extra space you could use to write in the back if you wanted to, like, I don't know, write the hit points, current hit point total down at that point, or remind yourself of a special ability you gave the monster because they weren't quite beefy enough.
It sounds like you have to beef up your monsters fairly frequently here, Dustin.
I have a lot of APs I'm running for 5 or 6 people. Yeah.
Mm. Oh yeah. So how do you handle that, you two, when you're oversized for the AP? What's your preferred solution?
I fudge things.
Yeah.
I just let the monster stick around for another round or two, typically. You'll be surprised just how much luck factors into like making a thing challenging anyway, even if it was intended for a party of four. Like, okay, party of four needs to fight, you know, 6 kobolds. All right, I'll throw 6 kobolds at them, and just with some lucky rolls or unlucky rolls, they're still a tough challenge, even though they were ahead in the action economy with an extra player.
Yeah, that happened with our ninja orcs. They weren't not ninja, but after they had successfully crit on every single dice roll for 3 combat rounds, they were dubbed the orcs. Players are woefully scared of their return.
As they should be.
So you mentioned BCW top loaders, and that is a gift, the idea that I want to also suggest for the game master in your life. This is a gift that's better if you have a lot of game masters in your life, because it saves on shipping. BCW sells top loaders for posters. What else is the size of a poster? A flip map.
A flip map.
You know what's annoying at a convention? When you throw out your flip mat and it suddenly is rocky, you were trying to play the snow one because it won't lay flat. Yeah, you can solve that by throwing a top loader down on top of it. Or you can put it in the top loader in advance and be all organized and stuff. But I'm always lazy. And we learned this trick when we were hosting a whole lot of HeroClix tournaments. Yeah, I'm organizing my game store to run HeroClix tournaments, and those were just paper poster maps that were folded like 1,000,000,000,000,000 times. They would not lay flat for no reason. Not even cool flip map awesomeness. So we had like a whole stack of those in the corner. Goes throw it on top of it. They're about $10 a piece for the 24x36, which is just a little bit bigger than your average flip map, which is fine. But because it's a big object, shipping is an issue, which is why you'll pay almost as much, if not more, in shipping than you will for the top loader, which is good for a Christmas gift, because that's going to keep it means it's something that somebody's not likely to get for themselves because they see that. And it's extra good if you are, say, an organizer for your local PFS club or a venture officer. You could buy a dozen of these for like $100. It actually goes down significantly the at one, and then just hand one out to everyone in that runs games. They will They will cherish it. I know that every GM master I've ever given it to has kept it till it splintered.
Yeah, and BCW, you get a free shipping if you spend $100 on BCW key products. And right now you can get 10% off using the code COLLECT on their
that
website.
Is, that is wonderful stats to just have on hand there, Dustin.
My room has so much BCW stuff, it's almost a little embarrassing. I do a lot of organizing for cards, so I'm buying mm-hmm. a lot of sleeves, sleeve protectors, inner sleeves, mm-hmm. outer sleeves. They also, those card cases, if you don't mind me just taking a double gift this time, they have these card houses that have individual rows, so they look almost like Chinese medicine cabinets or library card holders. And those are fabulous for organizing minis if you find yourself with just a ton of different miniatures of different monster types.
Can you toss a link in chat for that?
Sure.
I'll pull it up on screen. Oh, you talking about this sort thing right on the front page there?
I'm talking about the card house. And it is loading, but they have a ton of stuff for sorting miniatures. And of course, BCW also has boxes for records, comic books, cards, any or coins, any kind of collectible. That's what I was talking about.
Card house. Oh yeah. This is cool.
Yeah,
I use these long boxes, the two-tier long boxes. This is looking like they have one for two tiers. They're called the shoebox, of course. I use those for storing my plastic minis in forever mm-hmm. because they're mm-hmm. acid free and they seal up tight. They're ridiculously sturdy. So not just cards and stuff. Anything you want to store and to keep in at least decent condition that can be thrown in a box. It's a surprisingly durable box. Also,
the stream just went dark.
No. Okay. The stream. We're still here. Sorry. I just hit the wrong button. I would hit the button that was supposed to make the PDF we're reviewing show up.
We ain't reviewing no PDFs today.
Sorry, y'all. Yeah, but the shoeboxes and comic book boxes, like BCW is just a treasure trove of ways to keep your geeky stuff organized and safe for not a ton of money. And it is innovative ideas can be used there. Of course, your room will then look like a comic book store because every comic book store I ever know also knows that that stuff is cheap and lasts forever.
Yep. Sometimes if they're out of stock, you'll find yourself using eBay instead for BCW stuff. But
no,
looks
I hate
like
doing that.
Looks like they're going to restock on the 16th, and you could back order now.
Reese, next gift.
All right. This is more in the variable price category because it depends on how little or how much you want to spend on it. But I think because of how times might be tough for a lot of people out there, in particularly there's artists out there that probably don't have a lot of work at the moment, it's very easy to go and find someone who's selling art commissions that you can use to get your player characters, or if you're a GM of, you know, the party or the campaign or whatever the case might be. So yeah, getting art for your players or for your group is always pretty fun. I tend to try to get like one piece for a given campaign per AP that I run and stuff. So it's just a fun thing to do, and it can, you know, depending on the artist that you find, you can probably look around Twitter or the rest of the internet and find somebody that's within your price range for what you want to do, and then get some cool art. It's fun.
Yeah.
I
was gonna say, it's especially means a lot nowadays, since a lot of people are running on Roll20, and it means having a more accurate depiction of your character for tokens. Mm-hmm. Alex recently bought us all artwork in the Starfinder campaign for our characters, so all of our tokens are looking real nice now.
Speaking of running things on Roll20 and other VTTs, a fantastic gift for anybody is the various packages for your games and or adventures or campaigns you're running, both Pathfinder and Starfinder. I know I'm using my group is taking a break because one of our people can't play with us during COVID, even on Roll20, because of work conflicts. So our Age of Aegis campaign is on the pause. And in the meantime, we're playing through Fall of Plaguestone, and we're having a blast with that. And the Roll20 package for that is so much, so awesome. It has made it effortless for me to run a game online. I do like running games in person. it is actually more work for me to run a game online than it is to run a game in person. That's my opinion on it. And to have like literally everything in there, able to just click on the attack and everything just handles itself. All I have to do is tell cool stories and make my players laugh with bad dad jokes. I'm loving it.
Yeah, that's and I think that can extend out to just like any of the random packs they have. So if you have map packs that can be used for any campaign or token packs and stuff, I know Roll20 has their marketplace that has just a buttload of stuff that can kind of be thrown into any game.
I hate to admit it, but I do spend money on Roll20 sometimes when it's like random encounter, Earth Elemental, $2, mine, table, done. Super handy.
Super, super handy.
All right. Next on up is Dustin again.
Oh, well, I really love using cards when I do role-playing games. I'm going to do a quick shout out to the spell cards. The Paizo spell cards are really nice. And if you have someone in your group that you're buying a gift for that plays a specific type of caster, it feels in your campaign, it feels a little bit more genuine to happen to get them the one deck of spell cards that fits their character, plus probably the focus deck as well. It feels like, you know, this is for your character, this is for our campaign together, this means something. It's not, you know, just a semi-random accessory. It would fit with meaning. And I also recently, to double up on that, found a Kickstarter for reusable gear cards that I'll put up in here that I just bought today researching stuff for this show. They're just cards, generic gear cards, and then you could use a dry erase marker to write more details on them and pass them out to players. So they're great for impromptu games, or if you're doing multiple PFS games and don't want to print out gear cards in advance, because a lot of times players just won't use gear that wasn't on their character sheet before the adventure started. Mm-hmm. And little cards help remind them, oh yeah, we picked up like 3 potions, why are we using our wands? or what have you. And on the back, they're blank, so you could write down MO details or whatever other details you want to write down on them. And I think those are kind of neat.
As I used to make gear, equipment cards that were absolutely wonderful. I bought hundreds and hundreds of them, used them for all my fantasy games, and then stopped. For a while, we have one card. So I do know how useful these cards are, especially, like you said, as loot to give out, because anytime you're able to hand out something that you prepped in advance or have an accessory for, the players think it's just a bit more special than something you go, it had 3 healing potions.
Yeah. And Paizo has great equipment cards, but they can't make cards for every little piece of gear.
They re-released those, didn't they? They did start making equipment cards again. I feel like an idiot for not.
Yeah, they have second edition equipment cards, but they don't cover every possible piece of gear. You know, there'll be a magic item unique to an adventure that you'll want a card for.
Oh, yeah. The old equipment cards were just, here's a picture of a thing, and then blank on the back for you to fill it out. These look cool. These look cool. All right, Luis, you have a thing?
Yeah, another variable price depending on what you're up to. Lots of sites have gift certificates. Get one for Paizo.com. DriveThruRPG has one. Hero Forge has a gift certificate. Mm-hmm. So like all of those are great. Some of them you might have to get a pretty decent like starting price if you want to give someone a mini. You know, the Hero Forge certificate, you got to at least get one that's enough for a mini. But for the most part, you can like just throw money at someone and let them decide their gift. It works for most holiday gifting. It also applies for tabletop RPGs. Giving money, but it's specific money. It's special money.
Yes.
Yeah. For my distant friends, Hero Forge gift certificates kind of became a crutch. It was like, and here's another mini for you to make later. I think I've given Ryan one of them by this point.
Yeah, and Jaina brings up what I was going to say, which is you should get certificates for your friendly local game shop. They could use the help right now. A lot of them could use the help right now, and they'll also have the accessories that you want.
Also, right now, as shipping and gifting might become more troublesome, like getting things in on time, FLGSs can often get things in a little faster than you can even get it in on Amazon, because I know that at least for right now in my area, getting things from Amazon is slower than ordering from from slow shipping from anybody else. All right. So my next gift is a little bit of a cheat. If you have somebody that is a hobby gamer, and what I mean is a game master that likes to do some aspect of the hobby associated with the game. If they're painters, if they're crafters, or maybe they're part of the terrain crafting guilds that we see, you know, making the tiles out of foam, or they love Fat Dragon stuff, or maybe they're super into 3D printers. There's always like some little side accessory that makes things a little bit easier for it and they would appreciate, but is just not priced at a practical term. Like a good example for as a 3D printer enthusiast, a wash and cure station makes things so much easier. It's an all-in-one way to get the mess done, and it works, and it works better than it. But my little bucket of alcohol will do just fine in a toothbrush, so I'm never going to buy one for myself, which is why when No Direction was organizing to give a gift to Owen of a 3D printer, and that went over budget real fast, a wash and cure station was added to it. And every hobby has something like this. If you have somebody that's into making foam, get them a good wire cutter. Or if they have a wire cutter, get them a sled that goes with the wire cutter that makes making straight walls or a circle jig. And the best way to find out is if you don't know what this might be, if they have a significant other, their significant other has heard them talk about the cool thing that they want to get someday. Trust me, I have asked lots of my gaming friends' wives what cool accessory they would like, and they are always quick to give me good suggestions. So you have an avenue like that. That is a great way to get something personal for the gamer in your life that is hard to buy things for.
And make sure to save all your foam inserts and give them to your fellow terrain crafter too, so they
can... For me, I want I steal everybody's Pepsi lid. I need all the Pepsi lids.
You heard that, everybody. Little... Shower him in Pepsi lids.
Please do not send boxes of Pepsi lids anywhere this way. That would be hard to explain. Also, there's like charities and stuff that accept them. But like a Pepsi lid for me, I use it for all sorts of things. I stick minis to the top of them and use them for paint handles. Mm-hmm. I use them for things that I need to have a well for that I can't... that I don't want to put in like one of my actual paint palettes and then have to wash out. Like all of this tacky glue that I needed to put some basing material on some minis earlier. I don't want that in my thing. It's a pain in the butt to scrub that out of an actual ceramic palette. Pepsi lid, taken care of. I know that was rant. I'm not saying Pepsi lids are what you should give your game master for Christmas. That would be easy.
Unless your game master is Parham.
Honestly, if one of my players showed up with like a lunchbox filled with Pepsi lids, I'd be like, oh my god, it's so wonderful. Needless to say, also, if somebody was able to find good half inch XPS foam in the area, that would be great. I can't seem to find it on a consistent basis. This is not a Parham wish for list, this is just an idea list. Other people in your lives, though.
Understood.
Is there like a thing you've been meaning to get one day for your hobby that you haven't got yet because it's not really practical or you can get by without it right now?
Oh boy. For the longest time, I've been like hoping for a big gaming table that's just like the ideal gaming table that like maybe even remove the top so you can like have a sunken in area and stuff and like a spot for... like a TV screen or a monitor to put in for like having a big map and stuff. And who knows, I might have to just design one myself because there's a lot of tables out there that get pretty close, but I'm very particular about what I want mine for. And maybe that'll be the thing that someday, like I asked like my father-in-law to help me, like, you have a wood shop. Uh-huh. For Christmas, let me use it and build something out of it or something.
I was like, yeah, I'd be happy to help you build up CADs to whatever specifications you want, but unfortunately, it probably wouldn't be effective for me to cut things here and mail them to you.
No, probably not. though, it would be pretty fun to go out and like build one and then bring it back.
So that'd be a cool way to do it too. Is if it's a It's a holiday gift to the group. If a couple of you pull together, buy a Lowe's gift card, figure out which one of you all has woodworking experience and or fathers or fathers-in-laws or mothers-in-laws or various people or access to a maker space in the community college. And then this, like, this weekend, we're doing it.
First, you must fell your own tree to make your gaming table.
You know, I've actually been thinking about that because I've got some fresh cut oak over there that is going to rot away if I don't do something with it.
That's a heck of a quest for the party.
Hey, everyone, surprise, put on these gloves.
It's time to role play.
We're going to lift lumber for 2 hours.
LARP the Lumber Consortium. We'll just hope we don't get it. Bell Knight Queen doesn't try to kill us all. We got some Jaina B in chat says a friend of her built a 5x8 game table with a 4-inch deep felt lined middle, then moved to a smaller apartment and it barely fits in there. Being ambitious with your geeky crafts, also be practical with what space you got, and remember that human butts take up more space than you want to believe they do.
Yes. Yes, there's more than physical space when it comes to humans. We like having...
Oh, Zathos of Phrygia is also suggesting Sirenscape subscriptions. Sirenscape, a year of Sirenscape subscription or various other cool membership things for gaming related.
Pro account on Roll20, for example.
Yeah, would be great for any player or game master. That's great. Also, we do have to disclose Sirenscape sponsored our shows because they're awesome.
As does Roll20, I believe.
Oh, yeah, as does Roll20. And a lot of us work for a lot of the companies we've been talking about. I'm sorry, gang. Yeah. I have to do this. The FCC tells me to. I want to be honest and upfront, but oh boy, do we have our thumbs in a lot of pies.
Fun.
Hmm.
Who doesn't like pie, though?
Speaking of pie, what's your pie in the sky dream, Dustin?
For a long time, actually, it was that document camera, but I bought that like 3 weeks ago. So I'll link that my article about it in chat. I liked it so much, or our article about it. And if you play any card games online or play board games online with other people, want to play chess online, if you want to paint a miniature online and show off those details or open booster packs online or do anything like that, I can't think of a better tool than this. Or if you just want to document your paperwork that isn't on PDF for some reason, you could also use it for that. You know, stuff you've written or Chronicle sheets that you want to save in case you lose your Pathfinder Society character. But yeah, they're usually really expensive, but if you go on eBay, you could find old ones from old schools or convention centers that upgraded theirs, and just make sure you have the right operating system, and they take fairly high resolution photos of tiny details that you can't get with a webcam or a cell phone. You could use a DSLR camera and a cam link, but this is cheaper and easier.
I was surprised when you pointed this out, and that I never thought of it before, because it is a perfect solution to a very particular problem that a lot of us face. and getting DSLRs and expensive lens, the current solution I was aware of.
Yeah.
Pie in the sky is a good table saw. It might sound silly, but I craft a lot of gaming accessories and furniture. I built my own game tables. I built the tavern where I'm broadcasting from. This is all scratch built stuff. I love carpentry. I love making them cool and geek. But I've been doing all my building with circle saws and electronic power tools. But I would love to have like a portable circle saw table, a table saw, one of those you can deploy job site saws, I believe is what they're called, so that I could actually just like do really good straight cuts. Like either that or like a track saw, which is a hand, which is a normal circle saw, handheld circle saw, but it mounts to a linear track that you lay down across the board and it keeps it going in a straight cut the whole way. It's that whole straight cut thing that's important. It's really important that your wood is straight, or else the table doesn't look like you thought it should in the software.
Right. And you mean like real table saws, not like a Proxen or something, right?
Right. I mean, a Proxen would be great too, but unfortunately, I hate to say this, but like my next geeky build might just be a workshop. Because like now I've got like these 3D printers and I want to get a Proxen and like do all this like buildy crafty stuff and like actual carpentry, and I want to build bookshelves for my mom and like all sorts of like, you know, legit building stuff, and I'm running out of place.
Fair.
Oh, I love this. Cassini Warlock offering to pay for a friend's part of the room at the next con we're in. It's a fantastic gift and a big commitment. Those rooms ain't cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, the Gen Con room is like what, an average of $1,200 before the split? Well,
you get the room by the airport and Uber every day. Come on.
Oh no. Oh, I could not do that. I could not do no direction work doing that.
Oh, okay, yeah, impossible. That's perfect.
Hauling around in an Uber like three backpacks worth of camera gear.
The comfort that you get from being able to say, "I want to take a break," and just walk back to your room within a few minutes, and then like laying down is well worth it. I think my very first PaizoCon, when it started going at the DoubleTree, which is where it currently is, it's like, oh well, we have friends that we're staying with in Seattle, we'll just train out and come back. And there were definitely like 2 hours, 3 hour blocks of downtime where it's like, well, I don't want to do anything, but I guess I have to just stay here, because going back and then coming back to the convention hall is just like
a lot of hotel credit cards, a lot of credit cards based in hotels are having a lot of point splurges now, because they want people to, you know, because they don't have as many guests as usual. People aren't traveling as much. So right now is a good time to start loading up on points if you want to.
Also an incredibly bad
pay for somebody's room.
There's a reason they're in.
Well, yeah, no, I don't spend the points. You load up on the points now. You spend them when we leave.
Okay.
Yeah. And you could, yeah, spend them on your friend's room. You could say, I'll buy the hotel room for everybody using my credit card points. You know. Or if you want to be cheaper, I'm going to throw up one little tiny stocking stufferish gift that I just absolutely love, and I put there in chat. There's this incense burner on Amazon. I first saw it, I believe, on Owen Casey Stevens wish list, and then bought one for him and one for myself. They fit Pathfinder miniatures perfectly, and I love it. I don't even know what I'm going to use it yet for. I know if I ever do get to run a Viking campaign, it's totally gonna see a ton of play.
Longboat,
yes,
that he linked up. Oh yeah, I'm gonna throw it up on screen for people to look at it. this is kind of awesome. There's it's lots just, of fun things like this you can find out.
Yeah, and it's just scaled perfect for minis. Absolutely perfect for minis, for Pathfinder minis.
Next Verusia camp.
Next year in Verusia.
All right, one last one each, Luis.
Okay, then I'll go with the other one I was thinking. It's pretty on the cheap end, because this is how Patreon works, but it's very easy to spend $5 to $10 at most on a Patreon for 1 month and be like, I got all these maps for you, GM, from this Patreon, or all these tokens that they made, because you get the entire back catalog of them. And, you know, if you want to be able to support the creator, you can continue to do so and, you know, get your GM more content every month or whatever. But it's very easy to drop $5, get sometimes upwards of years worth of, you know, map content or token or rule content, and share that.
Yeah,
I am lots of 3D artists do similar Patreon pay to get a fairly large collection of little plastic people if you wanted to go the non-pawn direction. All right, Dustin, last one.
I'm going to go with Alexander Agunis's Advanced Occult Guide. I just bought the print. I bought the print copies out now on DriveThru. I just got mine last night. It's thicker than the Starfinder core book.
What?
Yeah. He held them up on stream yesterday. It's thicker than the core book. It has so many options. It's just like a, it's fantastic. It's not just psychic and occult stuff. There's so many neat stuff in there. I mean, there's a base class all about moving really fast. There's there's a bunch of awesome new spells and feats and corruption stuff for monsters, for GMs, monster templates. There's a bunch of really cool stuff in there. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds cool. So if you I like did not Starfinder, know it was that thick. I've been seeing that thing develop, and I guess I just never thought how it would actually look.
Yeah, it is together. It is 435 pages.
Oof.
Yeah.
All right, so my last one is, we were talking about artists and commission. There is a very wonderful type of commission that every gamer will appreciate. That is resin artists that like to make dice on Etsy, get a gift certificate from them for a commit or customs. And then they add what they want in their like handmade set of dice that are extremely personalized. The kind. Those are the kind of gifts that they will hang on to forever.
Yeah, that'd be great for an entire gaming group, kind of like how Paizo does the Adventure Path dice. You just make one for your home game using iconography that matches.
They average about $50 to $100 a set.
Okay.
I love my game group. I usually get them in the Christmas season.
Gotcha.
Luis, where can people follow you and find the other wonderful things you do?
Well, I write a blog on the No Direction Podcast Network. Look at that. You can check out Monstrous Physique every other Friday. I'm also part of two podcasts on the network, which include Legend Lore every other Tuesday and Valiant, which is I'm running a homebrew game set in a Wild West fantasy-themed Arcadia every other Thursday. So if you're watching live right now, I'm hopping off after this to finish editing tomorrow's episode.
I'm sorry.
But otherwise, it's fine. It's an easy episode. It's all role playing, so I don't have to like add in sound effects or anything. Otherwise, I have a website, luisloza.com, that has links to my socials, my Patreon, and other stuff I'm up to there.
And Dustin, where can we find the wonderful things you do?
Well, I actually write articles here on No Direction as well. I write an article every other week on Tuesday called Fox is Cunning on the nodirectionpodcast.com. In addition, I'm probably on your Pathfinder Discord if you're in one. So you could go ahead and pop into Discord and say hi to me whenever you want. And I should probably do more stuff with my website, kitsunemori.com, because I kind of stopped updating it once I got into No Direction because you guys are so awesome like that.
We appreciate having you. All right, if you wanted to find even more amazing blog content, you can do so over at nodirectionpodcast.com, where we've got something dropping every day. So many fantastic writers are kind enough to contribute to the work, as well as a podcast almost every single day of various topics. Some of my favorites is Legend Lore and Prison. Is fantastic. I love the podcast that I don't edit, so that it's actually a surprise to me. So it's wonderful. And do not sleep on Valiant. Also Arcadia.
Yeah, I think I'm at a point where I can get my gun rules for that out in a proper form in like a week or two. So that's right around the corner, right after the Rabbit Folk. So.
Oh, and while you're over there at NoDirectionPodcast.com, you can check out the Patreon link, where our patrons enable us to do these shows and continue to bring you this content that we do love so much bringing you all. Thank you so much. Patrons also get to participate in the Patrons Private Sanctum, which we do after No Directions. This isn't a No Direction, so it'll be after this. So every other Wednesday, we do an after show, which is private for patrons, where we literally ask them what they want us to talk about, and then we talk about it. And we will often like literally bring the patrons station like live, chat with us, get this thing done. It's become one of my favorite things to do because it's so wonderful getting to just chat with all you. And if you want to do that, you can just join over on our Patreon and help us continue to grow and continue to bring this content to you all. And while you're there, you'll also notice the Discord link, where you can join the chillest community or Pathfinder, Starfinder, in general, nerdity on the internet. We'd love to have you. Pretty much most of the network is on there nonstop. It's a great way to chat with any of the network members, any of our fans, and to just enjoy these wonderful games. Until next time, how to exit again.